Good evening. It's Mitzvah Zayis Chanukah, and the Simcha is palpable. The entire Klal Yisrael is now in a state of tremendous joy and elevation, hearing the great news of the release of Shalom Mordechai Ben Rivka from prison. On Zayis Chanukah, on Neis Chanukah, a person who serves as an example of Emunah and Betochen, the entire Klal Yisrael from every walk of life, every type, has been davening for this very special individual who today was released. And the Simcha is all over. The entire Klal Yisrael in America and Eretz Yisrael in Europe, everywhere, is rejoicing over this release. And it's a mayein of what we're going to experience very shortly with Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu, when we're all going to be released from the current situation. We could have used good news this week. Unfortunately, there were many tragic events that happened this week. As everyone is aware of, those who Nebuch perished in a fire, Hashem, the neshamas should have an aliyah, and those who survived should have a refuah. And this great simcha that now Klal Yisrael is experiencing should lead to more simcha and one besura toiva to another. And how perfect that this fell out in Parshas Vayigash. Vayigash is the parsha of Besurois Toivois. This is the parsha where Yaakov Avinu, who for 22 years mourned and was in anguish over what he thought to be his son's death, or as others learn, the fact that he thought that his son would not be able to survive religiously in Mitzrayim, is told the great news that Oid Yosef Chai, V'chihu Moishel B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, V'atechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem. This is a parasha of good news. Although this Shabbos is Hei Teves, which in Navi and Yecheskel, Hei Teves was the day when the Shmua Ra'a arrived about Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, they found out about it in Bavel a few months later. It wasn't like today, where news travels so fast as we see today, from minute to minute. In those days, it took time. So when Tisha B'Av occurred, the tragic event of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't until Hei Teves that they found out the terrible news. K'mevuar B'Navi Yecheskel, and that's one of the events that are mentioned in the Slichais of Asara B'Teves, what happened on Hei Teves, which is this Shabbos. But Vayigash is the Hamtaka. Vayigash is the parasha of good news, because this is the parasha where Yaakov finds out the truth about Yosef HaTzadik, Oid Yosef Chai. All the Shvatim unite in this parasha, which is a metaphor for the unity that's going to take place, the Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu. And as we see in the Haftarah this week, the Lo Yechatzu Oid L'Shtei Mamlochais, there will no longer be two kingdoms, Malchus Beis David and Malchus Ephraim, but it'll only be one, the Avdi David Melech Aleihem, V'roya Echad Yihiyah L'chulam. And Bashgacha Pratis, the Shir is taking place, Maitzoei Zois Chanukah. And we mentioned many times when we talk about the Yomim Tovim and the Shabbos that follows the Yom Tov, that the Yom Tov doesn't leave till after Shabbos. And that means, although we did not light Chanukah candles tonight, and we're not going to tomorrow night, the Yom Tov of Chanukah has come to an end as far as the halachas of Chanukah, but as far as the oirois and the hashpo'ah of Chanukah, Chanukah continues until after Shabbos, and perhaps it continues until the entire month is up, and maybe it'll even continue forever. We all hope, because Chanukah is oirois shel melech ha-moshiach, whose arrival is imminent. Last night I was zeichet to be by Rav Wolfson Shlita, who spoke very clearly about the current situation in the world. And he had in front of him the Psikta, Hayodua, the Yalkut Shemayni and Yeshaya, about Shana Shemelech HaMashiach Niglaboy, the year that Mashiach is going to be revealed, says the Medrash. This Medrash was quoted here a number of times. I'm just saying what Rav Wolfson said last night, and I'm repeating it, and hopefully everyone will hear it, that the year of the arrival of Mashiach, Malchios Mizgarei Zu Bezu, that kingdoms, governments are provoking one another. He actually said that there hasn't been such a period of Malchios Mizgarei as there is now, We all know, we all hear, everyone knows what it's about, but it goes further. The Medrash says that there will be a situation where Melech Paras Megara B'Melech Arvi. Paras, as we all know, is Iran. Arvi is Saudi Arabia. And the situation now is where Iran and Saudi Arabia are getting closer and closer to a situation of war. There's a big rift in the Middle East between those who side with Saudi Arabia, those who side with Iran. This Medrash, written at least 2,000 years ago, foresaw this. Not long ago, Iran was not an enemy of Israel or an enemy of the United States, so it was very hard to understand what this Medrash was talking about, even recently. In our time, this Medrash is as clear as day. The Medrash is a very frightening one, because right afterwards it says that Melech Paras Yachriv Es Ha'olam, he will destroy the world. V'kol ha'umais mizbahalim u'misra'ashim, the nations are tumbling, they don't know what to do, no one knows where to go, and Klal Yisrael is not going to know where to go, and then Hashem is going to say, do not be afraid, al tisyoru, anovim higia zman geulaschem, the time of your redemption has arrived. Rav Olson actually said last night, it's hard to understand what it means that he will destroy the world. It can't be literal. The world's not going to be destroyed. Because right afterwards it says, and the nations are not going to know where to go, which means obviously the world wasn't destroyed. Whatever situation it is, we don't know exactly. He says, perhaps he suggested by goyim, machshava kama'asa, when they intend to do something, it's like as if it was done. Lovan bikesh lakar es hakol. The pasuk says, arami oyved avi, as if it happened. And if that's what Melech Paras will want to do, or wants to do, or has been wanting to do for a long time, or North Korea for that matter, by a goy, a machshava is like an action. So they did it. It's like as if they did it. They say the same thing by Purim. The fact that Haman wanted to kill all the Jews is like as if he actually did kill all the Jews. And they were saved mimisa l'chayim. It was a bechina of tchias hamesim, although they weren't actually killed, but that he wanted to, so it's like as if it happened. Whatever pshat in the Medrash is, the current situation is a very, very frightening one, a serious one, and he said, I can't swear that the situation that we're in now is for sure what the Medrash means, but it's definitely looking like it, he said, more and more. And what he suggested, of course, is that we increase in our tefillos and in bettering ourselves and to prepare ourselves for the arrival of Mashiach, to be ready. But Be'ikar, he said, to intensify our tefillos, because as the world situation suggests, that this is what the Medrash is referring to. And it's interesting that in those days, who thought that it's possible for one individual to destroy the world, as he spoke about last night? Such a thing could not have happened. It was impossible. No one could do a thing like that in those days. Today, that is a possibility. The world today, unfortunately, is under the rulership of some very, very mentally ill people who could definitely, at the push of a button, destroy the world if they would want. The situation today is what the Medrash says. It's a possibility. And being that we were all zeicha to hear the great news today, the Besura Toiva, and the unbelievable simcha that Klal Yisrael is experiencing right now, if anyone is aware, that all over, everywhere, every frum community now is dancing, there's music. You feel like as if the greatest simcha has just happened for the entire Klal Yisrael. Everything has been a shamayim, and hopefully, I'm not a Navi, I can't say for sure, but hopefully this is the simcha that's going to lead into the ultimate simcha, the simchas oylem al-roshim that we're all waiting for, bi'as ha-moshiach, which is discussed in the Haftorah this week. Because Chanukah is oyroi shel melech ha-moshiach, as the B'nai Yisoschar, the Reikeach, the Imrei Pinchas from the Pinchas Koritz and the Maral, we'll talk about Chanukah being Oyroi Shel Melech HaMashiach, and today was the last day of Chanukah, the finale, the climax, the eighth day of the eight-day Yom Tov, a Yom Tov where one can ask for whatever he wants, especially in Refuah, and in all Yeshua's that one needs. Chanukah is the time for it. And in that respect, Chanukah didn't end, because till after Shabbos, it's still Chanukah, Baruch Nias. The Shalah HaKadosh tells us that the three parashiyos of Ayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash are all Chanukah parashiyos, because Chanukah always falls out in the vicinity of these three parashiyos. It could be in between Vayeshev and Miketz and extend into Vayigash as it does this year. Sometimes it's before Vayeshev into Miketz, but it's always these three parashiyos that are read in the vicinity of Chanukah. It says the Shalah that in these three parashiyos, lie all the sidais and the oirais and the hashpais of Chanukah. So Vayigash, therefore, is also a Chanukah parasha. And until this parasha ends, until this Shabbos is over, we're still under the Roshem of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, especially the way it fell out this year that Chanukah ended Wednesday, even if it ended Sunday. But when it ends on a Wednesday, a Yom Tov extends into the second half of the week. The Gemara says in Pesachim, Ma'ale Shabbata, that the second half of the week can no longer make Havdalah. So the second half of the week, of course, is connected to the upcoming Shabbos. So Chanukah extends till after Shabbos. And we want to extend this great Yom Tov of Shemini, of Nisim, Sha'asisa La'avoyseinu Bayom HaMohem Bizman Hazeh, Oiroi Shal Melech HaMoshiach, at least till after this Shabbos. Whereas if it will be Zaycheh, it'll extend even more. So tonight we will discuss Parsha related, but a lot about Chanukah as well, because we're still under the Roshim of Chanukah. Being that there wasn't a Shia last week, we will discuss a little bit of Chanukah and its connection to the Parsha this week as well. I was privileged to hear a few days ago a Torah from the Baba of a Rebbe Shlita, who was in Eretz Yisrael, and via hookup, I heard the questions that he asked. He speaks every night of Chanukah, and he discussed a very interesting concept, which I'd like to elaborate on tonight here, with what he said and a little bit of what I will add to it. The Megala Amukos, the great Megala Amukos, has a piece in his Sefer on Vo'es Chanan. He wrote a Sefer with 252 Oifanim on Vo'es Chanan. And in Oifan Samach Gimel, I believe, he talks about Chanukah, and he quotes a Medrash Antiochus, where it talks about the whole story that happened on Chanukah, and he says that the Chashmoinoyim went to Har HaGilod, to Davin, for victory, to Davin for an ace, or to Davin in general for the situation. The obvious question is, why did they go to Har HaGilod? Why did they go there? What was the reasons? And Eivir HaYarden, why would they be going to Har HaGilod? What does Gilad have to do with Chanukah? And the Megala Amukos, that piece, has a whole concept, a whole idea of what the connection is. We once spoke about this a few weeks ago, that Gilad in Parshas Vayetzeh is related to Chanukah. Gal Eid, Gal means revelation, the revelation of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, which takes place 74, Ayin Dalad, 74 days after Yom Kippur, the large Ayin in Shema, the large Dalad in Shema, the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad has 25 letters, and that's Chanukah, Kiyodua, Tikune Zayar, connects the Pasuk of Shema, the 25 letters of Shema, to the Yom Tov of Chanukah, that starts on the 25th. Galeid, Gilad. But why did they go to Gilad? Okay, there's obviously a connection, there's a reason. What does Gilad have to do with the Yom Tov of Chanukah? He also asked the question that the Bnei Yisachar, when he talks about the dreidel, the minhag Yisrael, the minhag Yisrael Torah, he, as Tosfos says in Menachos, to play with a dreidel on Chanukah. There are many reasons why. The Pashtus is because of the gezeiros of the Yevonim, but by tzaddikim, many times when they would get together with their chassidim, by a tish, they would play a dreidel. The dreidel is considered something that's al pi soid, al pi kabbalah. There are many, many ramazim, what the dreidel has to do with the Yom Tov of Chanukah. On the dreidel, we all know our four letters. Nun Gimel Heishin, Neis Gadol HaYasham. Neis Gadol HaYasham, Im HaKoylel, is B'gematria LaHadlik Ner Chanukah. So the Bnei Yisachar says that these four letters give you the word Goishna. Where does it say Goishna? It says Goishna in this week's parasha. V'yas Yehuda Shalach Lefonov LaHoyrois Lefonov Goishna. Yaakov sent Yehuda to go ahead to build the yeshiva, or literally it means to build homes for the family since they're moving, to find a place where they can live and a place where no goyim live, known as Goyshen. Svarim actually said that Goyshen, some hold, had Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. There was a strip that went out from Eretz Yisrael into Mitzrayim, that Goyshen was part of that Ritzuah. Certainly Baruch Nias, it was like Eretz Yisrael, especially where Yaakov and his children lived. So the Bnei Yisachar says that the letters on the dreidel, Gimel Shin Nun Hei, is the side of Goishna. What does that have to do with Chanukah? What is Nun Gimel Heishin, the dreidel, Goyshna, have anything to do with Hanukkah at all. Another question that he asked was, why is the Yom Tov with oil? Okay, the Pashtus, we all know it happened with oil, but why did it happen with oil? Why did the Kavanah HaElyona choose the liquid Shemen specifically for the Yom Tov of Hanukkah? Those were the questions that he asked, and I will add a few other questions. In Hanukkah we say, Al Anisim V'Al HaPurkon. The word Purkon is an Aramaic word. The way most translate Purkon, it means also Yeshua, salvation. But why do we use the word Purkon? In fact, if you look closely at the Al Hanisim from Hanukkah, you'll notice it's different than the Al Hanisim of Purim. Bimei Matisyahu is different than Bimei Mordechai V'Esther. Besides that, it's longer. And there are other differences which we may note a different time. Yisrael, Yaakov, there are many differences. But one of the differences is at the end we say, Ulamcha Yisrael osisa teshua gedoyla ufurkan kehayayim hazeh. Again, we emphasize purkan. Shabbos, we say, yukum purkan. What's this purkan? If you said it already, ala nisim, ala purkan, why is it being repeated again? But only in the Chanukah, bimei matmatis yohu, it's not said in the Bimei Mordechai V'Esther. The word Purkan doesn't exist there. So clearly it's a Hanukkah word. It is a word that is associated with Hanukkah. What exactly is it? The Gemara says that you have to light the menorah Mishetishka hachama ad shetichle regel min hashuk. What does this expression ad shetichle regel min hashuk mean? Until no one is walking in the market. That's literally what it means. There's no one outside, so there's no reason to light the menorah. No one's going to see it. The mitzvah is that passerbys should see it, even non-Jews. Tarmudoi, ad the kalya rigla de tarmudoi. Hanukkah lights up the entire world. Hanukkah lights up the street. Hanukkah goes out, as mentioned many times, different than most Yomim Tovim. But what's the exact meaning, or what Alpi Pnimius at least, is the meaning of Ad Shetichle Regel Min Hashuk? It's like poetic. Until a foot is no longer walking in the market, what exactly does this mean? Shetichle Regel. Maybe it should have said that there's no people, no Anoshim Bashuk. There's no people in the street. Ad Shetichle Regel Min Hashuk. What exactly does that mean? So the Baba Rebbe Shlita, who asked some of these questions, the gist of what he said, which could also explain why we use the word purkan and what tichle regel min hashuk means, is that we all know that Hanukkah is the Yom Tov that goes out. It illuminates the street. But there's also another and a very, very important part of the Yom Tov of Hanukkah, which perhaps is not as emphasized, which is very, very important for Klal Yisrael, Bizman HaGolos especially. The Yevanim wanted to infiltrate. The Yevanim wanted to enter. They wanted to come in. They wanted us to assimilate with them. Nichnisu Yevanim Laheichel, we say, the Gemara says in Shabbos. They entered. They went where they weren't supposed to go. They went past where they're allowed to go. There's a wall around the Beis HaMikdash called the Soireg, where Akum cannot enter. They entered. They went where they're not supposed to go. The Mishnah says, in Midos, Yud Gimel Pirtzois Partzu Malchei Yovan Behechel, that the Malchei Yovan, Antiochus, and even before that, others, they breached, they made 13 cracks in the wall around the Beis HaMikdash, known as the Soireg, which separates us from them. Meaning they wanted us to mix with them and them with us. V'hayinu la'am echad, la'ashkicham teirasechu, la'aviram mechukei ritzaynecha. And the Chashmoinoyim, when they came in, they fenced all those breaches. They solidified the barrier. That which separates us from them was strengthened. The Chayma, the wall, the Havdalah, Ben Yisrael Amim. That wall which came down because of the act of the Yevanim went up again. Because of the Chashmoinoyim. That means the Nes of Hanukkah re-established that wall that separates us from the non-Jews. What separates Kedusha from Chol, Hamavdal ben Kodesh l'Chol, ben Yisrael lo Amim, That was strengthened on Hanukkah. And in fact, we could even add to this, I'm adding this, that the Hanukkah is rooted, as we mentioned here many times, in the Pasuk, Vayar Elohim es ha'or ki toiv vayavdeil. The first time it ever says Havdalah in Chumash, and Reb Tzadik HaKohen always emphasizes this in his Sefer, especially in his Maimorim on Teves, that when you find a letter mentioned for the first time in Chumash, or a word mentioned for the first time in Chumash, that's the Shoyrish of that letter, of that word. So where does it say Havdalah for the first time? It says it in that Pasuk, Vayar Elohim es ha'or ki toiv vayavdeil. Es ha'or ki toiv vayavdeil is Begematria Chanukah 8 times, 89 times 8, 712. That Pasuk, as Rashi says, is referring to the Oyer HaGonuz, the hidden light. Shehivdiloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Letzadikim La'osid Lovoi. The Or HaGonuz, the Oyer of Melech HaMoshiach, Es Ha'or Ki Toiv is Begematria Oyer Moshiach. That Or, which is revealed in the Lamed Vav Neiros of Chanukah, was put away, was hidden. So this Pasuk, Es Ha'or Ki Toiv Vayavdeil, this phrase, which is where Chanukah is rooted, is where it talks for the first time about Havdalah, about separation. And as the Baal HaTurim makes note on that Pasuk, where he talks about all the Havdalahs, not just between Or and Choshech, but also Ben Yisrael Lo Amim, and Ben Yom HaShvi L'Shesh Semei HaMaaseh, and Vayavdeil, he says, is Begematria 52. There are 52 times a year that we make Havdalah, 52 Shabbosos. So that's where Havdalah is rooted, because the Yom Tov of Chanukah solidified that Havdalah. It solidified that barrier, that separation between us and them, which was breached, which was broken as a result of Malchus Yavan. There were so many Mesiavnim. You don't find this as much in by other Goliaths. Of course, in our time, it's rampant. But before that, that's not what happened in Bavel as much, or in Parasu Madai as much as by Yavon, by Golus Yavon. That's why it's called Choshech. Hichshichu Einayim Shel Yisrael. B'gzeiro Yisayim. So the Yom Tov of Chanukah, true, the light penetrates into the street. Al Pesach Beisayim Ibachutz, and it's on the left, and it's below 10 Tfachim, Mishatishka HaChama, in the second half of the month. Everything has mentioned many times here. But there's also another and a very, very important aspect of Chanukah, that Chanukah teaches us that we have to be insular, we have to protect ourselves. We have to stay out as much as possible of the street. Chanukah taught us not that we're not supposed to be walking around in the shuk. We're not supposed to be outside when we don't have to be. There has to be a wall that separates us from them. The Medrash says that one of the descriptions of Yavan is that Yavan is compared to a scorpion. Pasuk says in Ekev that Klal Yisrael traveled through a midbar, Nochosh, Sorof, Ve'akrav, Ve'tzimoyin, Asher Ein Moyim. Nochosh is Bovel, Sorof is Parasu Modai, Akrav, Zu Yavan. The Yavanim are compared to scorpions. The Tikkuni Zohar says, we mentioned this Tikkuni Zohar here a number of times, that Akrav is the letters Okar Bayis. Uproot the house. They wanted to uproot the house. With this explanation, we can understand perhaps a bias, a house is surrounded by walls. Otherwise, it's not a bias. You can, an open house with no walls cannot be called a bias. A house has walls around it. And that's what separates me and my family from the street and from the next person's house. So that's what the Yavanim wanted to do. They wanted to be oiker the bias. They wanted to uproot the house, the walls, the barrier, that which separates us from them. They wanted to destroy the Havdalah, that there should not be a separation. They wanted to bring down that wall. And the Chashmonaim rebuilt it. The Chashmonaim solidified the Havdalah ben Yisrael lo Amim. And with this concept, with this idea, we can understand all of the above the Yukim and questions. Number one, why did they go to Har HaGilad? What's Gilad? Gilad was the first place where Yaakov set up a barrier between him and Lavan. Gal Eid. Eid HaGal HaZeh Ve'Eid HaMatzeva. As the Pasuk says at the end of Parashas Vayetze, which we always read, in Chodesh Kislev, as we're approaching the Yom Tov of Chanukah. I'm not going to pass the gal. You're not going to pass the gal. This is the barrier between me and you. And it goes further. Lavan called this heap of stones in Aramaic, one of the only, or maybe the only phrase in Aramaic in Chumash, Yegar Sohadusa. The Yaakov Koroloi Galed. But Yaakov called it Galed. What's the Torah teaching us over here? That you should have Lavan called it this and Yaakov called it that. Therefore what? Says the Sipurno. Yaakov did not speak foreign languages. He spoke only Lashon HaKodesh. There was no Yiddish then. He spoke only Lashon HaKodesh. So therefore he wouldn't call it Yegar Sohadusa. Yaakov called it what it's called in Lashon HaKodesh, Gal'ed, to stay apart from Lavan and his type. The Ptagim Yonison actually is on that pasuk, Belishna Kadisha. Yaakov spoke Beloshen HaKodesh, similar to what Chazal tells us, that Klal Yisrael were zeichet to be redeemed from Mitzrayim, because Loishinu es Shemam, Lashonam, and Malbusham. They didn't change their names, they didn't change their garments, they didn't change their language. Vayava Yaakov Sholem, Sholem is Rosh HaTevis, Shem, Loshen, Malbush. They stayed apart, as we say in the Haggadah, Melamed Shehoyu Mitzuyonim, they were distinct, they were different. That's why they lived in Goshen. Goshen, no Mitzriim lived in Goshen. The Pasuk actually says in Parashas Va'era, by the Makkah of Orev. So the Pasuk says, V'hifleisi b'ayoyim ha'hu es eretz Goshen, asher ami oimeid oleha, v'vilti heyois shom Orev. Goshen was set apart. And that's where my people stay, my people live. And there's no Orev there, no Irvuvia, there's no mixing, no assimilation, because there's only Bnei Yisrael in Goshen. And that's why Yaakov sends Yehuda ahead of time to set up a community, a ghetto, a place where Klal Yisrael will be insulated and protected and surrounded by a wall, not to mix with the Mitzriim. There's a Sefer Hasidim that says, Sefer Hasidim, written by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, he writes that there must be some medrash that he's quoting, that the 20 years that Yaakov was in Lavan's house, he never once set foot in Lavan's house. He didn't want to be influenced. He didn't want his children, even though Lavan was the grandfather, he didn't want them to have anything to do with him. He was afraid. Lavan was an Arami. Lavan was a Ramai. We know Lavan was deceitful. Lavan was a Rasha. He didn't want his children to mix. So he stayed away. He never visited Lavan. Never came. If they met outside. He never went to his house. He didn't want the hashpa of Lavan's house to affect his family. So Yaakov made that barrier, Gal Eid. And the Kedusha of that Gal was so great that enabled, and what the Avos do, as we know, is a Simen Labonim. Whatever the Avos did affects Klal Yisrael till today. The Chashmei Noyim, therefore, who knew that what the Yevonim were trying to do was what Lavan wanted to do, what Shechem and Hamor wanted to do, to assimilate. So they went to Har HaGilad. They went to Gilad to daven, Gal Eid. Because that's what Chanukah is going to be. Chanukah is going to be the Yom Tov that's going to re-solidify once again, to strengthen again that barrier, that Havdalah that separates us from them. We see in this week's parasha, when Yosef reveals himself to the brothers, he says, Gishuno Elai Vayigoshu. First they didn't believe it. Ani Yosef Achichem Hashem Machartem Oisi Mitzroima Ha'oid Avichoi. And they're quiet. They don't know what to say. There's silence. You could imagine. You could hear a pin. You couldn't even hear a pin drop. How quiet it was. And just a few moments ago, Yehuda's screaming. But you guys should love Yehuda. And if you don't send Binyamin back, I'm going to do that. All of a sudden, there's total silence. And everything in a few minutes makes sense. The last 22 years of confusion now are all clear. Now we know. But now we understand all the history, all the events are leading to this moment of Yosef revealing himself to the brothers. Nivhalu miponav. So Yosef sees that they're not sure if they can believe him. So he says, Gishuno elai vayigoshu. He showed them his mila, as Rashi says. But then later the pasuk says, Kipi hamedaber aleichem beloshen hakodesh. You see, I'm Yosef. I speak in Lashon HaKodesh. All the Mefarshim ask, how does that prove anything? There was an interpreter there the whole time who was translating Hebrew Lashon HaKodesh to Lashon Mitzri. Menashe was the statesman who learned last week's parasha. The Melitz, Ki HaMelitz Peinoisam. So what's the raya that was? So he's for sure Yosef because he spoke Lashon HaKodesh. So the Svarim explained to us, not that he spoke Hebrew or he just spoke a language. He spoke Lashon HaKodesh. He spoke with Kedusha and Tahara. They saw that he was careful in Bris HaLashon. And therefore he was also, Yosef is the ultimate, the epitome of Shmiras HaBris. So which Shmiras HaBris is Bris HaLashon and Bris HaMor go together. You can't have one without the other. As it says in Sefer Yetzirah, Bris HaLashon Mechuban connected Bris HaMor. Ki pi amedabra alechem b'Lashon HaKodesh. I'm speaking to you in Lashon HaKodesh. Don't you hear the way I talk? Do you see how I speak? And they knew. They were able to recognize the Koyach HaDibur, the Kedusha of a person's Dibur. And where did Yosef get this from? From Yaakov, his father, who would not speak a foreign language, who called it Gal-Aid. He did not call it Yegar Sohadusa. Chanukah is the Yomtif that Havdalah that separates us from the outside world was solidified. That's why they went to Gal-Aid, to Gilad, to Haragilad. And with this we can understand very well now why the letters on the dreidel are Goishna. That's exactly the message of Goshen. Goshen teaches us that Jews live apart from the rest of the world. Like in Goshen. Goshen was like a ghetto. It was a place where only Jews lived. No one else lived there. And Paroi gave it to them. Yoshafta be'eretz Goshen. Paroi tells Yosef when the brothers come down that's where you want to live. We see throughout this parasha about Goshen. Vayavoyu arza Goshen. Then at the end of the parasha again, Goshen has in it the shoresh of the name of this week's parasha, which is Vayigash, Gimel Shin, which means to come close. Mitzrayim is a place where if you want to get close to Hashem, that's not necessarily the best place to go. There are certain places that if someone wants to come close to Hashem, that you don't go there. We all know there are certain places you don't go if you want to get close to Hashem. So if anything, Mitzrayim is a place that is distant, that a place where there isn't Shechina, like Lamata Miyud, below Ten Tfachim. Mitzrayim is the left, similar to Teves, which Teves is the left. Teves is the left in time. Ner Chanukah, Mismoil is Begematria Teves. Mitzrayim is on the left. That was Mitzrayim is the Smoil, which is not the Tzad of Kedusha. But in Mitzrayim, there was a place where one can get close to Hashem. That's Goshen. And the Shoresh of the word Goshen means to come close. Vatigashna, as we had a few weeks ago. Vatigashna Hashvacha is Heino V'yaldein Vatishtach Avena. Vayigash Elov Yehuda. What does Vayigash mean as Rashi says in Parshas Vayera that Vayigash has three meanings actually. By Avraham Avinu it says Vayigash, and it either means to appease, or to battle, or to daven. And Avraham Avinu did all three, as Rashi says in Parshas Vayera. But here also, Vayigash Elov Yehuda, literally he's approaching Yosef to battle. As the Medrash quotes the Pasuk, Hinei Hamalochim Noyadu Avru Yachtov, that these two kings, Yehuda and Yosef, Yehuda represents Malchus Beis David, Yosef is Malchus Ephraim, Mashiach ben Yosef, the two kings are joining here, but not to join yet. Now they're fighting. Eventually they join, as we see in the Haftarah, and as they'll be in the future. So by Yigash here, he approaches him, and he says, Val Yichar Apcha Be'avdecha, meaning, as Rashi says, he spoke tough. But all the Sifrei Chassidus tell us, Noam Elimelech, Kedushas Levi, on and on, that what was really happening over here was Yehuda was davening. He was talking to Yosef, but he was really talking to Hashem. Vayigash Elov Yehuda, Yehuda is approaching Hashem. Hagosha is an expression of tefillah, like by Avraham Avinu. It says Vayigash, he davened. When you daven, you get closer to Hashem. You connect to Hashem. Tefillah, Miloshen Naftulei Elokim Neftalti, which means chibur, which means closeness. Davening is supposed to bring us close to Hashem. You get close to Hashem because you daven. Davening today is instead of a carbon. And carbon is from the word kiruv, which means getting close. So the name of the parasha is Vayigash. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda is approaching Yosef. Yehuda is approaching Hashem. He's davening to Hashem, so he wants to get close to Hashem, and he's begging Hashem, please, what's going to happen over here? If I don't bring Binyamin home, my father will die of anguish, and I will lose my Olam Haba. So he's talking to Yosef, but he's really talking to Hashem. Be Adoni, as the Kedush of the Naim Elimelech is Mayrach in this parasha here at the beginning. So Goshen, Miloshen Hagosha, Miloshen Vayigash, means also a place where you can get close to Hashem. There are communities, even in America, there are communities all over the world that are insulated, that are protected, where one can get close to Hashem and not have to see the outside world, and not have to look at the advertisements, and not have to see what goes on in the shuk. So that's perhaps what the Bnei Yisrael is telling us, that on the dreidel is the letters Gimel Shin Nun Hei, the same idea as Har HaGilod. Goishna, remember Goishna, remember that in Mitzrayim they lived in Goishen. They wanted to get close to Hashem, so they lived in a place apart from the rest of Mitzrayim with a wall around it, figuratively speaking. In other words, there was a Havdalah between them and Mitzrayim. And that's what Chanukah taught. The Chashmonaim, they fenced those breaches from the wall around the Beis HaMikdash that was breached by the Yevonim, to solidify that wall, to strengthen the Havdalah ben Yisrael lo'amim. And here comes a Hosafa, that perhaps that's why we use the word Purkan. As we asked before, why do we say Amcha Yisrael Asisa Teshua Gedoila Ufurkan Kehayoyim Hazeh? What's the word Purkan doing here? What do we have to say it for? Many of you have learned it's another word that means Yeshua. So why is it after twice? What's the redundancy here? What, we're just being poetic? We're just finding another word with this. Purkan is the Aramaic word. It's the Targum for Pidus. Also in the Makkah of Orov, as we just quoted before. V'samti Pidus bein ami u'bein amecha l'mochar yihi ha'ois hazeh. So Unkelus translates Pidus as Purkan. That means a separation. Purkan is a separation. And where does it say this? By Makas Oroiv. Makas Oroiv was the first Makkah that separated us from them. Because the first three Makkahs, as many Rishonim learned, one spoke about it here, were by Klal Yisrael too. Kenan for sure was by Klal Yisrael also. We know that the fact that Yaakov didn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim because he was afraid that his body will be swarming with Kenim, and everyone asked, what's he worried about? In Goshen, that's probably where they would have buried him. There were no Makkas in Goshen. Who says? Pirush HaMishnayos Lo Rambam, he doesn't say why, he just says he has a Messiah that Kenim was also by Klal Yisrael. The Aznayim L'Toyer of Zalman Sirotskin brings a raya from this, that Yaakov didn't want to be buried in Goshen, is a raya that Kenim were there too. He's worried about the Kenim. What's he worried about the Kenim? In Goshen, there's no Kenim. There was Kenim and Goshen. The Ibn Ezra holds, the Rashi seems to hold like that too, that Dam and Svardeya were by the Jews too. Yes, the Medrash says that if the guy bought a drink from a Jew, then he didn't drink blood. Okay, I'll be drush, but I'll be pshat. There's no way that the Torah says that the Jews were set apart until Oroiv. But Bakas Oroiv, it says, v'hiflesi, b'ayoyim ha'ues eretz goyshen, asha ami oimed oleho. That's where the Havdalah first began. Total separation. And that Makkah did not exist in Goshen. Oroiv did not come to Goshen. And there the Pasuk says, v'samti pidus, which Unkelus translates purkon. So a purkon means a separation. Rashi uses the word as sheyavdil. V'samti pidus, sheyavdil, bein ami u'bein amecha. So pidus is havdalah, bein Yisrael la'amin. Purkon, that's havdalah. So Chanukah we add, u'lecha, u'amcha Yisrael, asisa teshua, Gedoila upurkan. There was a tremendous Yeshua and a purkan, a separation. The wall that separates us was solidified. The Chashmenoyim fenced those breaches. That's purkan. Ache tichla regel menashuk. The purpose of the Chanukah, the message of the Chanukah Yom Tov, of the Neiros, of the whole Yom Tov, is not to be in the street. Tichla regel menashuk. The shuk is for Esav. The shuk is for Yavon. The shuk is for Umayz Ha'olam. The shuk is not for you. You don't belong in the shuk. You belong in an insulated place of Kedusha. Of course, there are times we have to go into the shuk. There are times we have to go shopping. There are times you have to go out. You have to go places. Clearly, you can't stay indoors all the time. The message, though, is that when you don't have to be in the shuk, you shouldn't be in the shuk. That's the purkan. That's the goishna. That's the har hagilad. And that explains why the nace happened with oil. Because shemen, says the medrash, we know it is a fact, but the medrash says this in Tetzava, that oil doesn't mix with other liquids. Oil rises to the top. L'sitcha elyoin. Oil doesn't mix. That's exactly the message, not to mix. So Chanukah has sort of two opposite messages, really, over here. On the one hand, we say you have to illuminate the outside. Chanukah, we light it al Pesach Beisoyim Ibachutz, and you go below 10 Tfachim, and you go on the left, and you light at night, and you're dealing with Ra. We're dealing with the Shuk. That's one message of Chanukah. But on the other hand, yes, true, we have to illuminate the outside as well. But as Yidden, as Erlich Yidden, we have to be insulated, we have to be guarded, especially in today's world, which all of the above hint to that concept. And as we enter this week, we should say as we end the week, as we leave the Yomtiv of Chanukah, which the Yomtiv of Chanukah is Oiroi Shel Melech HaMoshiach, we read Parshas Vayigash, where Yehuda and Yosef join together. Yehuda and Yosef, those are the two opposing factions in Klal Yisrael. Malchei Beis David and Malchei Yisrael, who were at odds with each other for who knows how many years. Nechlaka Malchus Beis David, and it's all rooted in the machlokes between Yosef and the brothers. And basically every machlokes in Klal Yisrael, kamat ad hayoyim hazeh, is all really rooted in that machlokes. If one delves into all the machlokes that went on among Erlich Yidden, we're talking about. We're not talking about reform and conservative. We're talking about those, the machlokes among Erlich Yidden that sometimes just got out of hand. It really didn't seem to make sense. And it's just basically mostly misunderstandings. It's all rooted in Yosef and the brothers, which is also a misunderstanding. That's what this machlokes was. Each misunderstood the other. They didn't know who Yosef was. They didn't realize how great he was and that he was really greater than they were. But now they did. In Parshas Vayigash, they come to the realization who Yosef is. Now they know how great Yosef is. Now they join together, and now there's a unity between the two factions, Malchus Beis David and Malchus Yisrael. So on the one hand, Vayigash is a parsha of Golus. Because if you read the Psukim on the surface, what's happening in this parsha is Yaakov and his sons are coming down to Mitzrayim. Yaakov, Ubon of Yordul Mitzrayim. Shivim Nefesh, B'Shivim Nefesh Yardu Avosecha Mitzrayim is this week's parasha, where we come down to Mitzrayim and the Yocheved, or whoever it is, Machlokes in the Medrash, who that 70th Nefesh was, because if you count, there are only 69. As soon as there were 70, Yaakov's not afraid to go down to Mitzrayim. We can deal with the 70 nations, because we have 70 of our own. We have Ayin Nefesh, B'Shivim Nefesh. In fact, Yocheved, according to many opinions, Rashi brings it here and elsewhere, was the one who was Mashlim, the minion, the mother of the Redeemer. Yocheved is the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. And as we're entering the Golus, the mother of the Redeemer is born. There's already a potential Goyal. The Goyal is already, he wasn't born yet, but the possibility for Geula already exists at the time that the Golus starts. The moment we enter the walls, Ben HaChoymos, of Mitzrayim, which has been Ameitzar, Kol Agolios Nikrois Al Shem Mitzrayim Shem Mitzirim Li Yisrael. Yocheved is born, the mother of the future Goyal. So on the surface, what's happening here is Golus. Yaakov Avinu leaves Eretz Yisrael and spends the last 17 years of his life in Mitzrayim Ervas HaOretz, never to go back to Eretz Yisrael again, alive. The Shvatim leave Eretz Yisrael, never to return, alive. Their bodies come back, but they don't come back alive. And their children and grandchildren are now going to be in Mitzrayim for 210 years. So this is where Golus starts. And it intensifies next week in Vayechi, where Yaakov passes away. So the Shibud gets, the Ruchnius, the Shibud starts. Because when we have Yaakov with us, we're still in Eretz Yisrael. But without Yaakov, we feel the Golus. Then Yosef passes away, so the Golus intensifies. And in Shemois, even more so. when all the Shvatim pass away, and that entire generation dies out, and then the actual bondage begins, the 86 years of Shibud. So Vayigash Vayechi Shemais gets worse and worse. The Golus progresses. But the Panemius, however, in these parashiyos lie the Geula. Because we know that the Golus came, the Golus we're in now came, because of Sinas Chinam, because of hatred, because of division among different segments of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, as the Gemara says in Yuma, that's the reason why the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And that's what's going to rebuild it, nothing else. What's going to give us the Bayis HaShlishi is going to be the unity of all of the Jewish people. And here we have an individual in our time who brought about tremendous unity among the most extreme types of Jews. Jews that never spoke to each other, unfortunately. They wouldn't look at each other, each for their own whatever reason. Suddenly began talking to each other. With groups that you wouldn't believe would be rooting for Shalom Ardcha Rabashkim were the ones who were at the forefront of trying to get him released, and how much money was raised, and how much effort, and how much Tehillim was said, and how much Torah was learned, and how much tzedakah was given in the last 8 years for this one individual who had obviously the tremendous chus to be able to unite Klal Yisrael. And tonight, every group in Klal Yisrael, at least that I have seen and heard tonight, is rejoicing to the point of dancing with music, musical accompaniment, in shuls, in the street, as if we heard that Mashiach has come. Because that's what's going to happen when Mashiach is going to come. What we felt tonight, what we feel now, what we felt in the last few hours, is what we're going to feel then. The unity of the Jewish people is what is going to make it happen. And that unity happens in Parashas Vayigash. In Vayigash, Klal Yisrael unites. At that time, Klal Yisrael is the Shvatim, basically. Klal Yisrael unite. The hatred dissipates. There's no longer division. The brothers speak to Yosef now. And in Vayichi, we actually have the Geula. We have Yaakov saying to Yehuda, Lo yosur shevet mi Yehuda u'mechoykek mi bein raglav ad ki yovoy shiloi. Shiloi is melech ha-moshiach, sha'ashai shaloi, as Rashi brings next week. In Vayichi is the soid ha-geula, the kates, the gilei ha-kates is in Vayichi. Bikesh Yaakov legalis as ha-kates, v'nestalka ha-yemenu shechira, which means that the gilei ha-kates is in Parashas Vayichi, in the midst of the golus, in the midst of the darkness. And of course in Shemais, although on the outside the Golus has intensified, the Redeemer is born. Moshe Rabbeinu is now here. Batera Oisai Ki Toivhu, the Redeemer is born. And Moshe Rabbeinu begins his job, his role as Redeemer of Klal Yisrael throughout the Parsha of Shemais, while at the same time the Shibud intensifies. So Golus, as terrible as Golus is, but the purpose of Golus is for Geula. And the Geula, it starts to formulate while the Golus is going on. That means in the Ra, there is hidden Toiv, the Or HaGonus. The month we're in now, Teves, as we spoke, Rosh Chodesh, is a very difficult month. There are a lot of sad days in this month. There are a lot of tragic days. There's a fast day. The Torah was translated into Greek and into foreign languages, the opposite of what Hanukkah taught, the concept of separation. Again, the Greeks, besides what happened Hanukkah time, they also began, before this, they began with Talmai, translating the Torah into foreign languages. Again, it was all to infiltrate, to contaminate, to pollute. It wasn't to disseminate Torah. It was to consider Torah like any other study, academia, not that it's divine, not that it's Hashem's. That's why we say, L'hashkicham Torah secho. They didn't care if people learned. You want to learn Talmud? You want to study Tanakh? No problem. You do it together with your social studies and your science and your whatever else. That's a study like anything else. That was what the Yevanim wanted. Lashkicham, that it's Torah Secha, that it's your Torah, that it's Torah Hashem, that it's divine, that it's holy. They wanted to suck out the holiness from Klal Yisrael. That's what the Yevanim wanted. And that happened in Teves. Teves is also the time when Isai HaIsh was born. Teves is also the time when Ezra, the last Navi that we ever had, died, and thus the glorious era known as Nevuah came to an end. which means darkness. There's no nevuah anymore. There's no light. Choshech. That's why Teves is called the month of Choshech. The Lele Teves Ho'aruchin. The long, cold, dark nights of Teves. The Pinchas Karas says, the Bnei Yisrael quotes it, that the actual first Yom Tov of Chanukah was the longest night of the year, purposely. The longest night of the year. The darkest night. Lele Teves Ho'aruchin. That's when Chanukah occurs. The light of Chanukah goes down into the darkest time, darkest places, the darkest moments, the lowest neshamas. So Teves, as dark as it is, as difficult, but it's Teves. Teves means good. It's good. You don't see the good, but it really is good. It's hidden. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of the Ur Hagunas, the hidden light. And Chanukah permeates, it penetrates Teves, it enters Teves. Just a few hours ago, it was Chanukah. And as we said, it really extends till after Shabbos. So Teves begins with light. It begins with Oiroi Shel Melech HaMashiach. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Nisecha, Nifloisecha, and Yeshuaisecha, which, by the way, these three words were sung all over the world tonight when the unbelievable news came of the release. They were singing Al Nisecha, Al Nifloisecha, Al Yeshuaisecha, famous Chabad Nigen on Grimat Yahu. I'm sorry, on the Nigen of Hanayroi Salolu, which ends off Al Nisechav, Al Niflo Isechav, Al Yeshua Isechav. Everywhere they were singing it. It's like the entire world is recognizing the Niflois, the Nisim, and the Yeshua's Hashem, Yeshua's Hashem Kerevayim. Yeshua'scha Kivisi Hashem, a pasuk which is said many times. Some people say it every day before they go to sleep and in the morning and after davening. Yeshua'scha Kivisi Hashem by Tulas HaDerech. That pasuk is in the bracha that Yaakov gave to Don. And as we spoke, Don is the lowest of the Shvatim. Don is Teves. And in Don, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem, the Yeshua happens in the most unexpected time, unexpected moments, when you think it couldn't get worse. It's so dark, it could never get light. Like Yosef never thought he'd ever get out of prison, especially after 2 years passed and the Sar Mashkin didn't even remember him. That's it, it's over. What's his chances of ever getting out? Will he ever get out? And suddenly, Vayiritzuhu min ha'bor, when that moment came, Vayigalach, Vayichalev simloisa, Vayiritzuhu min ha'bor, and before you know it, he's the viceroy over the entire Mitzrayim, and everything makes sense. Kate Sam Lachoshech, like we just saw today, Alpiteva. Everyone was losing hope. Everyone was saying, he's never going to get out. It's just not happening. And even after Trump became president and so many months have passed and he's almost a year president and he still didn't do anything, he's probably not going to do anything either. And then the Besura Toiva came. Zois Chanukah. Vayigalach vayichalei simloisa vayiritzuhu min abor. And the same in every situation. Every person has moments, every person has their times when they think that it can't get worse. We all go through difficulties, we all go through difficult times. But Yeshua's Hashem keheref ayin. What we saw happen today, and what we saw happen bizman Yosef and the brothers, happens in our own personal lives, will happen again, because as the Geula approaches, as dark as it is, and as difficult as it seems, and as the world situation now is precarious and is so scary and dangerous, with one button, with one mistake, what chas v'chalila could happen. The Medrash says that. Yachrev es ha'olam. That's how far it could go. It could go to that point. It could happen. That's how scary it is. So, when it looks like that might happen, that's when Yeshua's Hashem kerevayim. Yeshua's chakivisi Hashem. We have to extend the Chanukah into Teves. The light of Chanukah has to light up the Teves, that the entire Teves till the very end should remain permeated with the light of Chanukah. We shouldn't say, well, that's it, Chanukah's over. Chanukah has to last, it has to continue. The message of Chanukah, certainly, the Oiros, the Shefa, that which the Yom Tov brings, all the messages of the Yom Tov have to last until the end of the year, certainly till the end of the month, because since the month began with it, it goes till the Rosh of the Chodesh was Chanukah. The Rosh encompasses the entire body. The head, the brain of a person encompasses the entire body. So the Rosh of the Chodesh is the entire Chodesh. So if the Rosh was Chanukah, if the Rosh was Oiroi Shel Melech HaMashiach, then that means the entire Teves is permeated with Oiroi Shel Melech HaMashiach. That's The proof is that it fell so low. The fact that it fell so low is only an indication of how high it really is. As mentioned many times, the Baal HaTanya writes, Kol ha-gavoya, gavoya, b'yoyser, yoyrei, lemata, mata, yoy. The higher something is, the lower it falls. Someone jumps out of a three-story building. He doesn't sound as bad as if he jumps out of a 100-story building. Look how high he is. So the fall is much greater. The higher a time, the lower that time falls. The fact that Teves fell and fell so low is only an indication of how high Teves is. The fact that there's an Asara B'Teves, which Asara B'Teves is a fast day, the Navi Zechariah said that all the fast days will turn into Yom Tovim. That means Asara B'Teves is really a Yom Tov. And we hope that it'll become a Yom Tov. In the Haftarah we read, V'charati lohem bris shalom. Bris shalom is B'gematria Asara B'Teves. Shetichle regel, at shetichle regel. Shetichle regel is B'gematria Asara B'Teves. The goal is that the Chanukah should turn Asara B'Teves into a Yom Tov. Because Asara B'Teves was when there was a siege placed around Yerushalayim, similar to the Torah being translated into foreign languages. The Torah was placed in a siege. The Nevuah ended with Ezra's Petira. So Nevuah was in a siege. There's no Nevuah, there's no light. The light is concealed. Chanukah is the opposite. Chanukah is the explosion of light. Chanukah is when the Peretz, the Partzu Chaimais Migdolai, they broke in, true, and then the Chashmonaim fenced all the breaches, as mentioned before, but also the Or of Chanukah goes out. The Or of Chanukah pushes out into the street. The darkness becomes light. So what better month for Chanukah to end than Teves? Because Teves is dark. So the light of Chanukah goes into Teves and illuminates the Teves. We don't know any tanu yedaya adma. We don't have ruach hakodesh. We don't know why, what, but the fact that in the last few hours Klal Yisrael has experienced a simcha gedola ad lema'od, a besayra toiva, where every segment of Klal Yisrael has joined in to appreciate and to rejoice with this simcha. The chayre it indicates that something big is happening, especially that it happens Zeis Chanukah, which is the last day of Oyrei Shel Melech HaMashiach, the last day, the Shmini, the eighth of the 8 days. We were zeichet to this besura of a person who suffered for Klal Yisrael was now released. The chayre, I believe, it's a remez that we will no longer suffer, that we will get out of Golus very, very soon. And what we saw happen with one person, as great as he is, with one person, the entire Klal Yisrael, as one, will soon get out of the incarceration that we find ourselves in, and the golas that we're in now. And we should all be zeichetaka to Vayigash Elov Yehuda, to the union of Yehuda and Yosef. Vayigash Elov Yehuda is B'gematria David ben Yishai, as all the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us. Yehuda and Yosef joined together, that's the union of the two Mamlochais, that's Malchus Beis David, Malchus Beis Ephraim, Moshiach ben David, Moshiach ben Yosef, as we didn't have Torah. We shouldn't have to fast Asara B'Teves or even have to go through any, or even discuss any of the tragic events that happened in Teves, because Teves should become Teves, or as the Imre Noyam says, that Teves is Rosh Teves, Sekademenu Birchais Tov, which is a phrase in Kapitel Chof Aleph of Tehillim, which is referring to the Geula. Teves will become the month of Geula. Teves will be permeated with the Or of Chanukah and the Or of Melech HaMashiach, and may we all be zeichet to experience this Or immediately. And we are dedicating this year as a refuah shleima to Yosef HaKohen ben Freida Perel. May he have a refuah shleima immediately, especially that Chanukah is the Yom Tov of refuah. All the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, Melech Roifei Neman is B'gematria Lahadlik Ner Chanukah. So the Yom Tov of Chanukah brings with it refuah. Refuah is the Oisius Or Peh, the light of the mouth. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of the mouth. Lehoidais V'lehalel. Vayigash has 106 psukim, and the amount of psukim equal to the word Yehalalel. That's the siman at the end of Vayigash, to remember how many psukim Vayigash has. Yehalalel. That means to continue to praise Hashem. Vayigash is Rosh HaTevis. Yoidu Shimcha Godol V'Noira. Continue to praise Hashem. Don't stop. Just because Hanukkah is over, there's no Alah Nisim anymore, and we don't say Hallel, continue to thank and praise Hashem for everything, especially for the great Nes that we all experience today. May we all be zeichah only to experience Nisim and the Refuahs and Refuahs and Yeshuahs, and the biggest Yeshua, of course, the Yeshua Chakavisi Hashem, the Yeshua of the entire Klal Yisrael, the Isgalus of Melech HaMashiach, who should be revealed in this world and take us out of Golus. Immediately, the Meher of Yomeinu.
Amen.